temptations that people of God have is to wander off into la-la land, especially if the preacher goes a little bit longer than our attention span is, and especially if we stayed up too late last night. I would give some advice to the people of God here at Harmony, and that is, don't stay up late on Saturday night. If you stay up, it's party time in the world on Saturday night, and if you grew up in a culture like that, regardless of whether you got in on the party time or not, you were used to staying up late, 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, like everybody else. Let me encourage you to get to bed early on Saturday night. All you got to do to help yourself do that is to remind yourself on Saturday afternoon or evening early, you know, tomorrow's worship day, and we're going to be going before the Lord. What an embarrassment if I get there and I nod off in church because I stayed up so late last night. That's, you know, we can't help but nod off sometimes, but if we've had a real hard week, that might happen. But to do it because we stayed up too late on Saturday night and entertain the flesh, I think maybe something that'll get us in trouble with God. All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 15. Turning to Romans chapter 15, we want to read verse 4. And our subject this morning is patience and scriptural comfort. This one verse says all of that subject. Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. As a kind of a preface, I want to just say something about that verse. And after I've said a few words, I won't have any more to say about that phrase in the verse. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. When you look at the Word of God, and you read it, and you scroll through the pages of our Bible, do you ever really think these words of God were written for me to learn by? For me to learn by? Have you ever really thought about what the Bible, what God preserved His words in the written word about, what it was all about? The first thing that comes to your mind is like, He preserved this written word in order that He might have a record of what He said to creation. Well, that is true. But this verse tells us more than that. It tells us something else. It tells us that, and Brother Paul is writing about the Old Testament, obviously, and anything else that any of the apostles or inspired writers of the New Testament had written up to the time that he's writing about. But I hope you can understand that this is true about everything that was written in the past that God preserved in holy writing. And what he says was, here is, that these things were written for our learning. Isn't that amazing? You want an education, brothers and sisters? Listen to me. You want an education? Here it is. They say that Abraham Lincoln got a huge chunk of his learning from reading the Bible. And I'm persuaded that a person can get a fairly high level of literacy by reading the Word of God. Why do I believe that? These things were written for our learning. And so, while you can tout education among men and talk about higher centers of learning and talk about education up through high school and up through college and post-doctoral education and so on, all these things are very good if you can do them without detracting from serving your God. But they're not worth a hill of beans if you're taking away from serving God to get there. And folks, that's the thing we need to remember. We've got learning to gain. And it is from the Word of God that we can gain it. And I believe that's what that first phrase tells us. It is written for our learning. Now let's go on with the subject matter. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Folks, the written Word of God has enormous potential here in the world. And I'm talking about in every arena. Scripture says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner, listen, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You take a word that is able to discern like that, and you have a word that is able to help you understand yourself. And I don't know if there's any higher learning to be had except understanding God than to understand yourself. I think a lot of the mistakes, the stumblings, the falls, the missteps that the people of God have in their lives has a lot to do with not understanding themselves. Of course, not understanding God may be the primary reason people make huge blunders, but I believe that interlinked with the lack of understanding oneself is a great reason why God's people will blunder, will make missteps, will go beyond what the Lord would bless and allow. And so the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it has great capacity to provide a lot of things to us. And one of those things, as listed in our text verse, is comfort. That comfort, according to the way this verse states it, is so often revealed to us when we study His Word about the gift and the practice of patience. Sometimes when you read that verse, you might think that that verse is talking about patience of the Scripture and comfort of the Scripture. But read it again and realize that He's saying that we, through patience and through the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now I see and you see that the end product of that patience that we learn, that patience that we practice, and the comfort of the Scriptures, the end product is supposed to be hope. I'll say a few words about that, and I may intersperse some words about it during the sermon, but I want to look mainly at the comfort of the Scriptures as it is revealed to us through the subjects related to patience. Okay? But the end product, I say again, is hope. We want to have a confidence in the thing that God has said to us. We want to have a steadfast confidence and expectancy that God will bring to pass all the things that He has promised to us. That's in its essence, brothers and sisters, the center of hope. That is the, if you will, the very foundational meaning for hope. To have a steadfast confidence that God is going to bring to pass what He's promised us that He will. And so, the patience that we're gifted with by the power of God, and that we practice as children of God, and the comfort of the Scriptures will build that hope day by day, week by week, and through our lives. Now, when we study about patience and when we seek to learn the art and the pathway of patience, then we grow to be able to get comfort from the Word of God concerning our journey here on earth. Now, why is that important? Because I believe that lack of patience with the things of God, with waiting on God, with doing the will of God and just keeping on doing it, this lack of patience is what takes away from us the opportunity to get comfort from the Word of God and to get comfort from the Holy Spirit Himself. Folks, when we go off the deep end and when we abandon the formula that God has given us for receiving comfort and as a result of it, building hope, we have nothing out there when we drop off that deep end to give us comfort nor to build our hope. So, we learn to be comforted when we see and experience things that just don't seem to add up. If we're seeking comfort from the Scriptures and if we're practicing patience, we learn to be comforted when we do it that way. When we go through some very rough times, for instance, and those times seem to take everything out of us, I think we can discover things in the Bible that strengthen us to go on anyway, to move forward anyway. The Bible teaches us things that help us make sense out of what seems to be insanity all around us or maybe even in our lives. The Bible helps us to understand that God sees the plan clearly. And He knows exactly what's happening. But we can't get that understanding anywhere else, and we can't get the comfort that comes with that understanding if we do not look for it while taking advantage of the God-given patience and looking for the scriptural understanding that God will give us. If things are really insanity, brothers and sisters, and sometimes they are, I think we're able to be comforted by the Scriptures to know that even these insane things that are going on around us have a great purpose in God's unfolding plan of things. And I don't think we can get a clarity about the sensibility of God's planning any other place but by going to the Scriptures and seeking to understand about those things by reading the Word of God and patiently studying and moving forward in the things of God, regardless of how things seem to be in our lives or around us. Now, I want us to look at aspects of patience then today and use these things to get to one more milestone in our spiritual lives. One more milestone in growing in the power and ability to exercise patience. And I pray that that milestone will be a growth in comfort for every one of us. Comfort from the Lord about His great purpose with us in our lives and in what's unfolding before us in the world. If we can just leave here with some comfort about that, some clarity about that. Now, we find that the Lord gives us understanding about how to handle patience, what to do with it, and how to get more. And if we know as God's people, and we can form an opinion or take a course of action based on God's plan and not based on our own ill-conceived idea about what's going on, and based on what we think we need or don't need, we will have entered an arena about understanding God's Word and getting comfort from that Word. We will have entered an arena about patience in waiting on God to give us what we need and show us where we're supposed to be going. David says it well, and that's the starting point that I want to go to first of all. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37 and verse 7, David makes a statement here that so aptly expresses this idea of waiting on the Lord for what we need and just being there in patience to do that. In Psalms 37 and verse 7, David says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, obviously, you should know that David's not talking about, hey, God's going to be coming along and he's going to be driving a Lincoln out there and he'll pull up in the parking lot. He's not talking about that thing of waiting patiently for him. What he's talking about is waiting patiently for God to act out the way God does. Waiting patiently for God to unfold what He's unfolding and the great plan that He has for mankind, for the world, and for you, most importantly of all. And he goes on to say, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Fret not. I think that's the best advice that we could take from the Word of God. It's one of the starting points for getting some patience. Fret not. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not. We worry too much, folks. We really do. And it turns us upside down sometimes. We get all bent out of shape because things aren't going the way we thought they should go, as fast as we thought they should go, in the direction we thought that they should go. And the whole time that we're doing this, brothers and sisters, in the back of our brains, down in our soul of souls, isn't the Holy Spirit telling us, wait a minute, God's unfolding this according to His time frame. God's unfolding this according to His plan of action. In the back of our mind, down in our hearts, we know that's so, and yet we fret and stew over some things that aren't going the way we thought they should go. So David renders that out about something that apparently bothers him. And what he rendered it out to be was fretting over him who prospers in his way. And he's talking about a person who's getting along far better than he is, who seems to be driving down the smoothest of all roads. Not one pothole, not one deviation, on the best of tires and the best model of car. They're all drinking that wonderful bubble up and eating that rainbow stew. David looks at them and says, I'm fretting, or I'm tempted to fret over him who prospers in his way. Don't fret over that, nor fret because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now, folks, when you think about what David is saying, let me ask you this question. Looking at what David says and thinking for you, to put yourself in his place, that somebody is just getting along wonderfully and they're the meanest person around, that around you there are wicked men plotting all kinds of wicked devices and spitting in the face of God, and yet they're just going along smooth road all the time. Put yourself in that place for just a minute and let me ask you a question. If you didn't have some bit of advice like there is in this verse from Scripture, what might you be tempted to think as a human being if something like this was going on in your life and there were people like this having this kind of comfort and ease, and regardless of how wicked they were? Or how would you start thinking using your own human reasoning when you saw how that somebody you knew always seemed to get away with the worst kind of evil and never got called to the carpet on it? If you didn't have this bit of advice, how might you begin to think about that? Might you begin to think, well, hey, must not be anything wrong with that kind of practice. I can do some of it myself. I can guarantee you that the old man in us might very well think exactly that way if we're left to ourselves to think about somebody living life the way David described it there. Being wicked and getting away with murder and nothing ever happening, then we're tempted to say, what's the use of being upright? What's the use of obeying the law? What's the use of doing right? We'd be tempted to do that, I dare to say. And you might actually imagine that living that way and doing that way is beneficial. If you didn't have this advice from the Word of God that says, I want to teach you about patience. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't start thinking that what appears to be out there is the way it truly is, because it isn't. It's a whole lot different. If you made up your mind to wait on the Lord, as David instructs and advises, and to wait to see the end of these kinds of things that he describes with those people that he just described in that verse, just wait to see what the end of all that is. If you did that, you'd find out that things don't always turn out like human thinking imagines that they will. In fact, they never turn out the way that human thinking imagines, if human thinking is beginning to imagine that wickedness is profitable, that being vile and despicable is a good thing and beneficial. When human beings think that way, they're only seeing barely down in to the truth of things, because it doesn't end up that way. So, what does David teach us in this first statement? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And somebody might say, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait patiently for the Lord and rest in Him. Okay, that's great to say that. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you. Are you going to do it? Are you going to fret and steer? That's the real question. And that is a parting point right there. David's written another beginning of song, of another song that truly expresses and gives us more insight into patience and more insight into outcomes in our lives when we exercise patience. Let's turn to the book of Psalm chapter 40 and let's look at one verse there. In fact, let's look at two verses, verses 1 and 2. David says in Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. What is David telling us there? What do you imagine that he's saying that's so important? Well, notice how he started it, first of all, brothers and sisters, because that's the key. And that is, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. We know that David tells us that God inclined Himself. It was like God leaned over and listened to David, and had on his face the attitude and the expression that he was going to answer what David was asking. That's what we have here as a word picture. So we know that God inclined His ear to David, that He inclined to him and He heard his cry. But do you notice what prompted that? I rushed up to the Lord and asked Him one time, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Is that what it says? No, it says that I waited patiently for the Lord. Folks, I want to tell you something. When it comes down to this thing of being comforted by the Lord, I think patience is an essential, critical element of that getting comfort from God concerning what we need, where we're going, what outcomes are going to be in our lives. So David waited patiently, but not until he waited patiently did the Lord incline Himself to him and hear his cry. And then notice the outcome for David for this patience. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. I think sometimes we get down to a lower level of depression and despair or despondency, the place we think there's no getting out of this. I'm done for. I'm down in the hole, and it can't be possible that I'll ever get up out of it. And when we do that, we give up on waiting patiently on the Lord. And listen, the outcome's not going to be pretty. It's not. But when we do like David and we wait patiently on the Lord, even extraction from a big deep hole is a reality and a possibility. And as soon as we begin to realize that it's a possibility and that God is willing to do it, what do you call that when you would realize that if you're down in a hole? Wouldn't you call it comfort? Yeah, I believe we would. So knowing that God will gives us comfort. But we can't know that God will unless we patiently wait upon Him until He does bend Himself toward us and hear our cry and begin to do based on that hearing. Raise us up out of the horrible pit. Or, He goes on to say, out of the miry clay. He was stuck fast, wasn't he? He wasn't going to get out on his own effort. That's for sure. And listen, there are times in the lives of every one of us, more than we think and more than we really know, a lot of times, when we're neck deep in miry clay and we're not going to get out on our own strength. You know, back in the old times when they had movies on TV where there were like jungle movies. Remember M.R. the Jungle? Remember the guys always running in the quicksand pit? Remember how they got this terror-stricken look on their face and they were reaching for vines and anything that could help. And they were looking with agony and loss as their face sank below the quicksand. Well, folks, that is exactly what we can expect to happen to us if we don't do what David did and wait patiently on the Lord. And doesn't that imply actually thinking that we're waiting on the Lord? Just plain old complacent cow waiting doesn't get it. This waiting deals with waiting patiently on the Lord. And folks, nothing is like it for getting us out of the miry clay. And then he goes on to say, and he set my feet upon a rock. Set my feet upon a rock. I don't think there's any extraction that's ever accomplished in the lives of the people of God that puts them on more solid ground than when the Lord extracts them. Listen, you can get people out of binds. You can get people out of pinches by force of effort. You can give them a little alleviation, but I want to tell you something about that. It won't last. If God isn't in it, it won't last. But listen, when the Lord takes a hand in extracting His people from out of the clay and sets their feet somewhere, it'll be on solid rock. It'll be in a place where they cannot sink again. That's the wonderful lesson that comes to us when we exercise patience in the Lord. We get to the place by patience where God has finished trying our faith, has finished working on us with that experience, and He sets our feet on solid ground. And last, David points out, and established my goings. It's almost as if David suggests here in this verse that he fell into that quicksand hole because he wasn't watching where he was going in the first place. And listen, folks, that's very often the truth about when we get ourselves up to our neck in quicksand. We wasn't watching where we were going. God's people do fall into clay pits. Mushy, mud, loblollies, if you will. And sometimes very deep ones. And in times when they do that, many times it's because they're just not watching where they're going. They're blundering along, living life outside of the will of God and not walking in patience, waiting on the Lord. And next thing you know, they're in hot water or quicksand, as it were, or miry clay, as it were. But when God gets us out of that through our patience and waiting upon Him, He sets our feet on a rock and He establishes our goings. what he does, brothers and sisters. Once we get out of that by God's help, out of some place we've gotten into, we remember the lesson. And God will remind us of what pathway took us there, won't he? And I want to tell you something. My daddy-in-law used to have a saying that went something like this. One lesson learned is worth two bought. And when we learn that lesson that God has to teach us, when he gets us out of that miry clay and establishes our goings, puts our feet on the rock, we won't forget what pathway led us there. And we'll be absolutely stupid and foolish to walk that pathway again. I really believe we will. We'll avoid it like the plague, and we ought to. And so, the Lord has a way, through patience, of dealing with us and helping us and getting us to where we need to be. Now, Scripture teaches us even more about patience, and if we learn it, we can find great comfort in the outcomes that come out of simply waiting patiently on the Lord and seeking to serve the Lord in patience. I want to look at another by turning to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and look at a verse there that it really does have a great truth in it about the practice of patience and what it benefits and how it benefits. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, this is some more of Solomon's sayings. And he says there, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, I want to link those two together because I think they do relate. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. He's just contrasting two different kinds of ways of responding to the unfolding of events, okay? And in one case, there's a person that's patient in spirit, that is being patient to see the unfolding of the event that Solomon must have had on his mind. And in the other case is a person who has pride in their spirit, and that pride causes them to overlook and give up on being patient. In other words, through pride and presumption, they are impatient, okay? That's the suggestion there. But look at the first phrase, that better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And let that sink in your mind for just a minute about why Solomon describes two different ways of responding to it. And think how it fits with waiting on the Lord patiently for him to unfold things. You know, a lot of nights when I've worked too much on standing on my legs and bending and stooping and standing up and walking and so forth, a lot of nights I wake up in the middle of the night with leg cramps. My legs down in my calves start spasming, and they won't quit while I'm laying in bed. And the longer I stay there, the worse the ache, the worse the spasms. And I have to jump up and stand up on the floor beside the bed and put my legs in a certain position to get those spasms to stop. And after a few minutes of just waiting patiently for them to stop, and I get in the right position, do the right move, and patiently stand there. Sometimes I want to get right back in bed because I hate standing up in the middle of the night in the pitch darkness, and maybe that little one-room air conditioner's on and the room's cold out from under the cover. But I stand there and patiently wait, and after a few minutes, the pain, the spasming in my legs goes away. And I say, whew, isn't that a great feeling? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I'm just using my leg spasms as an illustration to help you understand exactly what he's saying. You might think, well, I never thought of things that way. Well, just think of a few things. Think of the, you know, this may not be a universal rule here that Solomon has given. He may have had his mind on some certain thing. But think for just a minute about the beginning of a day. The rooster crows or your alarm clock goes off and you hit it with a hammer and you jump up and you're ready to go and you're all full of vim and vigor and spice and here you go, you're going to do a bunch of stuff today and you're all energy and vigor and you work and you slave and you do and you run here and you run there and you do this and you do that and the day's okay for the first few hours and all of a sudden it begins to be a pure drag. And you just wish you could sit down somewhere and rest for a few minutes, but you don't get to. And all day long, it's go here, do this, do that. And then finally, your day's work is done. Boy, isn't it nice to go and sit back in your recliner and just rest a little. Does Solomon's statement here fit that also? I believe it does. Now let's look at it. Well, my wife sometimes, she don't get to do it according to that step, that set of steps. She's usually going, still zipping around, burning up the ceramic tile on the floor in the kitchen at 9:30, 10, 11 o'clock at night sometimes. But I mean for normal folks, not my wife, who's a workaholic. But for normal folks, that's generally the pattern. Now let's just apply that to patience. Why are you needing patience, folks? And you say, well, because things are happening. And bad things are happening. I'm in the middle of something. I'm up to my neck in something. Troubles are upon me. Trials are upon me. I'm in the midst of tribulation. I need to be able to bear up under this. So I need patience. Right. Exactly so. But when you wait long enough upon the Lord, think about the solution. Isn't that better than the beginning of your patience? You keep that patience. You stay patient. The Lord deals with you faithfully because of your patience. And lo and behold, the end of it soon comes. The Lord rewards your patience. And all is nice and smooth as God answers you and blesses you because of your patience. Now read the verse again. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. You see why I can say the last phrase now, don't you? Because the proud in spirit is going to run to their own solution, wreck things, and they're getting up with a half-baked solution that has no value whatsoever. But the patient in spirit is going to see the end result of his patience and be blessed of God. And the end of things for him is going to be better than the beginning of those things. We've got the end there. We're out of time. Lord willing, we'll pick up here this evening in the evening service and finish up. We trust that you understand how wonderful it is that God has given us His Word, and He has a way by which we can get comfort from the Scriptures. And interestingly, and I may say this again this evening, interestingly, it turns out that very little comfort can be gotten from the Word of God if you act impatiently concerning spiritual things. It's just the way God does business. Really is. I warrant you, I guarantee, and I assure you that impatience in some secular things is fine. Sometimes that's the way you get work done. You're impatient to get it done, so you move along. You don't stop. You don't slow down. You don't sit down. You do those things, and you're impatient to get it done. Sometimes that's beneficial. But in the matter of spiritual things, impatience wrecks patience. Just that simple. And when we remember that, we find that the Bible, again and again, will provide us comfort when we are walking, exercising our lives in a condition of patiently
waiting on the unfolding purposes of God. We don't know what they are, but God knows. And so we can gain by knowing that God knows and resting in Him for the solution, for what's coming to pass, for what's going to unfold. That's the patience of the saints.